Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Jefferson County Commission Board Meeting for Tuesday, November 19, 2019. We're on the record at 10:31 a.m. And we'll begin our meeting as always with an invocation led by Commissioner Sinodal, followed by a pledge of allegiance led by Commissioner Hall.
This body here, Heavenly Father, again, I thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to represent the citizens of Jefferson County. I ask that you give this court your blessing and your wisdom. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Say the pledge in unison.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Begin our meeting today with items under purchasing. Item A is to receive top bids for an invitation for bids for term contract for gray limestone, 610 base for Jefferson County. Item B is to consider approval award execute receive top acceptance of offer for a term contract for 610 base for Jefferson County with Gulf Coast to CRH Company and Knife River Corporation South, shown on attachment A. Item C is to consider approve execute receive top contract renewal for term contract for Morgan Transport Services for Jefferson County with Proctor Mortuary for the first additional 1-year term from November 28, 2019 to November 27, 2020. Item D is considering possible approval of sole source extension pursuant to local government code section 262.0247A to construct firearms training center from TRS Range Services for Jefferson County Correctional Facility. Item E is consider and approve execute receive file contract between TRS Marine Services and Jefferson County for the construction of Jefferson County Firearms Training Facility for an estimated cost of $1,558,225. Funding for this project being made possible by donation from Enterprise Products Operating LLC. Item F is to discuss and possibly approve the purchasing agent to enter into contract negotiations telecommunications and information technology performance management program for Jefferson County. Item G is consider approving interdepartmental transfer of 2009 Toyota Highlander Service Center to Road Bridge Precinct 4 is authorized by local government code section 262.011J. And also under county commissioners, item A, and I'm going to hold the addendum on purchasing until later. And due to item A under county commissioners to consider and possibly approve and authorize county judge to execute receive and file a letter of agreement to the county to accept a donation of $1,558,000 and receive the initial payment of $400,000 for this donation for the construction of a new shooting range pursuant to section 81.032 of the Texas Local Government Code. So does that have a motion on those items under purchasing and that one item under county commission?
Second.
Is that Commissioner Arnold, seconded by Commissioner Hall. For any discussion?
Yes, Judge, I'd just like to ask, I noticed there's two different agenda items under purchasing for this B and E. One deals with contract and one deals with sole source. So this under D, that meets the purchasing act.
Yes, and it is also filed with the contract. All of their patent information is filed with their contract.
Okay. And then under A, county commissioners, are we on that yet? On the part of this? So there's covenants in there, correct?
That would have to be a friend.
So
that's
can
a
you
restrictive covenant that would prevent us from rebuilding the range in a way that points it towards their tanks.
Yeah.
Is anyone from Enterprise here for this? Oh, really? Yeah.
Judge Mike Derrick could not make it today. His wife's in the hospital. He's from Enterprise. If the court has any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
So the covenants, does that, how does that bind us in any way?
We're just pointing the range away from their tanks, Commissioner.
Okay.
And the new range is going to be built right on top of the old range, just pointing the other way. They're putting in an additional baffling safety right. measures.
But nothing that, other than the direction, it doesn't restrict the sheriff's office in any other way.
No, we're just covenanting that we will not operate in a way that will aim in any way toward their tanks.
Thank you.
Judge, I want to compliment the sheriff and you because I never thought this would be negotiated But there was one thing said in this, I guess the build of it, it was estimate cost. And I wanted to make sure that we talk about concrete cost, because I know it's $1.5 million or so they are putting forward. And I want to compliment Enterprise, because that is being a good corporate partner with the county and our law enforcement agents. But is it to build that actual cost?
Turnkey.
All right.
It's turnkey, it's locked in.
Okay.
Right. And I do appreciate the sheriff and I were in meeting initially with Enterprise, and we appreciate them with Fred with all the day-to-day conversations. And we had, as we turned it, there were some easements in the city of Beaumont had everything, and he worked through all that. So I appreciate his work with them.
What was the initial payment?
$400,000.
Thank you.
All right, any other questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under County Airport, we have one item. Consider possible grant approval for Crossville Southeast Texas to use airport property on Saturday, December 14th, 2019 for a Santa Fun Run 5K charity event to raise money for programs to help neglected and abused children in Southeast Texas. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Hoffman, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under County Auditor, we have five items. Item A is to receive and file statewide automated victim notification service grant contract between Jefferson County and the Office of the Attorney General for fiscal year September 1st, 2019 through August 31st, 2020. Item B is consider approve the victim information and notification everyday program service agreement with APRIS for the period September 1st, 19 through 8/31/20. Cost of the contract to be reimbursed by the Office of the Attorney General. Item C is consider approved electronic disbursement for $396,078.10 to LaSalle for revenue received from inmates from entities for inmate housing. Item D is consider approved and ratified grant agreement with direct relief in the amount of $65,617 for purchase of medical equipment. And item B is E is regular county bill check number 465627 through 465821. Do I have a motion on those items under auditor?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Hoffman, seconded by Commissioner Sinegal. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. Under county commissioners, item B is consider properly approved and authorized county judge to execute receipt file declaration of restricted covenants regarding the shooting range located in jail in consideration for the funds donated by Enterprise Products Operating LLC to construct a new gun range at the Jefferson County Correctional Facility. These covenants and restrictions are to be effective upon completion of the new shooting range pursuant to Section 81.032 of the local government code. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Sinegal.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Hoffman. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. And under tax assessor collector, item A is consider and possibly approve the attachment D RTF workstation lease agreement amending the interlocal agreement between Jefferson County and Texas Department of Motor Vehicles requesting an additional leased RTF workstation. And item B is consider and possibly approve a resolution recognizing Gail Osborne for 17 years of service in Jefferson County and to the citizens of Jefferson County wishing her well in her retirement. Do we have a motion on those items?
So moved. Second.
Moved by Commissioner Arnold, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Is Ms. Osborne here today?
She's working.
Under County Treasurer, we have one item to receive and file revised investment schedule for September 2019, including year-to-date total earnings on county funds. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Sinegal.
Second.
By Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? As have it under Visitor Center, item A is consider possible approved Jefferson County Tourism Committee Emergency Hotel Occupancy Tax Grant Allocation Recommendations for First Responder Conferences Blue Belt requested $24,000 through recommendation $2,000. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Second.
Who was the mover? Commissioner Alford, seconded by Commissioner Arnold. Any discussion? approve, execute, receive, file, change order number four, the type of control structures are all that did, and soft files, development of both waterway and Jefferson County, with BDS Constructors LLC, DBA, MK Constructors, for an increase of $297,050. To furnish and install four timber braces and modify a 32 8x8 inch timber post, bringing total contract amount to $7,515,368.20, $7,812,418.20, which will increase the number of contract working days by 30, bring the total number of working days from 142 to 172. This project is funded by grant from the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation and North American Wetlands Conservation Act. Any construction costs not covered by these two grants will be funded from the county settlement of DPR Gulf of Mexico Energy Security Act funding that the county received from offshore oil royalties under federal law. Do I have a motion on that? Moved by Commissioner Weaver.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Senegal.
Now, from the discussion, representative of LJA here, Mr. Stafford.
Yes, sir. We have representatives from LJA and from MK Constructors.
Okay. Y'all would come up to the podium. We were fortunate in that we had prior change orders, and we were able to talk to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, and they funded those change orders to the tune of $686,000. But I'm a little bit taken aback by this one, because we knew we were building in a marsh, and I was kind of surprised that in the initial engineering stages that the need for braces in a gumbo environment weren't taken into account. So we educated.
I'm Victoria Dyke. I'm in LJA. And from my knowledge, the ceiling engineer, which Wilson, who's no longer with us, at the time, I think there was an agreement between the county engineer department and the design engineer that they weren't going to get geotech bores at the actual site just because of funding issues.
They weren't going to get soil
bores. Because
boards.
Of soil bores at the actual site of the site.
And something I was in a meeting yesterday, Regional Planning Commission, Alan Sims was there. He said something about their having initially been in agreement they were going to use soil boring.
Yes,
that
so
been done by U.S. Fish and Wildlife.
So the report, the geotech report that was utilized in the design was soil borings that were taken about 2 miles away, same in the marsh, and that's what Butch used to design the site project. Now, when we started construction, NK actually got their own soil borings at the actual site. And what we found was that the soils did differ in what Butch used and in which this site had. And like you said, no, it is a marsh, and you would think that the soil is all the same, but the site that we had the bores with for design didn't actually indicate what was going on at the site of the site plans. And so when MK went and got those bores and they started doing construction, they found that it was a little bit more saturated, and the term unstable was used a lot, real very unsaturated, or very saturated, and just almost Play-Doh-like, I would like to describe. And that's expected in the marsh, but what Butch didn't see in the bores that he utilized before is it wasn't exactly the same soil type.
The consistency of the marsh, how far, what difference are we talking about, really? I'm not an engineer, but the marsh is a marsh, and anybody that's hunted out there, participated, didn't know that it's a bog. So why was it not officially identified and brought back to us or whomever to say that we need the soil samples to make sure it's being designed correctly? I mean, we've had four change orders on this one project for $1.1 million increase, 16.6% over the original bid. That makes me very uncomfortable with either the bidder or the engineer. So I need an explanation.
No, I understand your concern. It was, like I said, it was decided between the engineering department and the design engineer at the time that the cost to mobilize and get those soil borings, they didn't want to spend it at that time. to utilize some soil boards that they had about 2 miles away, say, in the marsh, and utilize that data and design this project. Now, difference really is, you'll see that the surface is the same, we'll see saturated conditions, but it's really when you go deeper into the soils, 20 plus deeper depths, that you'll see a difference in the soil conditions, and that's what we're talking about. So the design that we have currently doesn't take into consideration the depths, those depths that differ between the borings that we designed for and the borings that MK got.
So in the letter that you accompanied this change order, it had details in there, particularly to the effect that after the siphons, and I'm assuming this based on what I read, the siphons, after they were placed, started sliding toward each other, or, you know, they were separating from the rest of the components that were supposed to be intact, and there was nothing designed to prevent that from happening?
So what happened was, Imelda came, and MK was actually rained out for about 2 weeks because they just couldn't access the siphons underwater, and they couldn't get to it. So in about mid-October, they were able to go back out there and assess, and it was really inundated with water. So they built levees, and they dewatered the site by pumping it out. And so when they got to the point where they were able to excavate, they noticed that, you know, on a Monday, when they went in to grade that site and set those pipes at the elevation that needed to be set, they left for the day, came back the next morning, and just noticed that there was a lot of sediment. And whether or not that's attributed to that amount of rainfall that we got in Imelda, I'm not sure, but I highly think that it was, because that the soil here is just super saturated right now, and we still see that condition right now. I don't know if it's going to take 6 months or a year for that soil to dry up. I can't tell you. I'm not a soils engineer, so I'm not sure.
Well, let me ask a question. You guys are doing construction. If my memory serves me correct, you were the experts at doing this. And you didn't see none of this potentially occurring out there in the marsh?
Yes, sir. Ken Stewart with MK Constructors. So whenever we did the project, we provided information in the plans. In this particular case, as Victoria was mentioning, there was no soil database to go off of. So we go off of our best practices, basically. And that's how we did the project. Now that we've gotten out there and gotten in these situations of the soils, I don't know that we could have ever foreseen anything without that information. And so what they designed is piles that go down to the stable soil, which is about the 21, 22 foot mark, to be able to support these pipes and the structures themselves so that we don't have any failures in the future. So, I mean, we have to build it for the plans.
I understand, but okay. Like I said, you the guys that are the experts, you do this work out there. It's a little after the fact for you to not say, hey, look, why we're not going to install the board in the location we're going to build. That's where I would look at it.
Yeah, the soil boards that we did was after the contract bid, and we went out and did our own for our own personal information so that we knew whenever we bored underneath intercoastal what kind of soils we're going to be looking at. We did those bores down to 55 feet, but that was for our own personal information so that we could design our drill muds and everything else while going underneath intercoastal.
Was that done prior to Imelda?
Yes.
And after Imelda, did y'all do any additional boring after the fact?
No, so there was no need.
So what you had going was pre-Imelda, and your indications from the soil sampling y'all did for your own personal benefit,
yes.
It didn't indicate that there was a potential problem there?
Not at the time. I mean, for what we're doing with the bores, that was totally different than what the actual structures did. You know, the water comes into the structures.
How deep did y'all go with the boring underneath the intercoastal canal?
We were about the 50 foot mark below.
So, and you did 50 foot bores where exactly?
On the north side of both locations.
Okay. Which would have been also the soil that the breakdown that the redesign has indicated in the same general area?
These borings are actually at the exact site, basically, where the bores come out. So again, they were 55 foot deep, and they were done for our partially.
Yeah, I understand that, but I mean, if you had found that there was a Play-Doh type of soil under there and you're boring, I mean, in your soil sampling, would it have been a red flag to notify somebody that we might need to recheck those calculations for what needed to be there?
I think that's kind of where we're at today with these structures.
After the fact, though.
Yeah, I mean, after the project bid, that's correct. That's why typically that's done prior to.
You said there was settlement in the cycles in the pipe, right?
I believe Victoria was referring to the soil conditions there where the structure.
The pipe itself, right? They were shot at top elevation. This is what they are. Came back the next morning. They settled. Was it inundated with water at that time, or that was after the storm when it settled, right?
It was after the storm, and MK had actually pumped out the water at that time.
Was there any cross-sectional drainage flow through that area to wash out, or was it just pure settlement?
Yeah, I see what you're asking. This was at one site she's referring to, which was a soft bayou. Hole cut ditch we did after we were installing these elbows, basically getting the bore back horizontal. And those same conditions came up over there, but that was post Imelda. There was no rainfall in those areas.
How much settlement did we have? Inches?
I'd say 6 more inches in the course of 1 year.
And what's the risk of not doing something?
The risk is that the structures could potentially fail and cause a problem for you years down the road. That's what we're trying to prevent.
Yeah, it's
separating the pipe.
The whole problem and the whole reason for the structures was obviously when they dug the intercoastal waterway, they cut off the normal sheet flow of fresh water from the higher elevation marshes on the north. On the north side, they have too much water on the marshes. The marsh could be healthy. The south side of the intercoastal, they don't have enough fresh water inflow. So this results in both areas of the marsh becoming healthier, better able to sustain wildlife, fish, and waterfowl, alligators, and everything. But it's very dependent that those elevations be kept so that we can regulate the water between both the north and the south, and that it gravity flows with enough head pressure to keep those pipes cleaned out. And so it's really important. I understand what you're doing is you're just building carriages to assure that those stay at the proper elevation.
This design, it basically captures two things. It helps support the pipe, which is 36 inch diameter, 3-inch thick wall plastic pipe, which is extremely heavy. It's coming into these aluminum structures. And so what this does is it supports the pipe prior to getting to the structures. And then under the structure, each structure, there are two wood piles. They're now increased in size and in length to help make sure, as you just said, to keep the structures at the same elevation. Those four need to be at the exact same elevation all the way across because they have stop logs within the structure. So whenever fish and wildlife goes to set the water elevation, it needs to be consistent across all four of the structures.
Patrick?
Yes, sir.
How much money do we have in both of those grants?
You have $5,186,400 from DFWIP and $1,500,000 from Doug Sutton.
That's roughly $6 million or so dollars.
Yeah.
$6.6 million.
Yeah. And the original was we had a match of $700,000.
Okay.
So that was our original match. They picked up the DFWIP picked up that first change order. The second one, I believe, we've had to pick up, which was the bins and the pipe.
We're talking about
$130,000.
We're still talking about $1.7 million. My points are. Are we going to have enough money coming from the BP? Because if not,
yes, we already have it.
We have the money already.
Yes,
it was near Mark III.
Well, no, BP and Go Mesa.
But those funds weren't there for anything else right now.
Well, yeah, Gull Mesa can only be, you know, coastal erosion shoreline or.
You can't. You can't use it for general operations of government. You have to use it for coastal.
Now, the BP we've utilized for, we basically utilize most of that. Change orders and funding for the match with the shoreline stabilization.
So estimated, what is the coming out of our discretionary funding or reserve fund to pay for this extra?
No, it's all coming out of either Gull Mesa or BP.
So it will be all covered 100%.
Yeah, it's.
One other question I have is the original agreement you said it was negotiated between county engineering and someone about the 2 mile site where the borings had been done?
Yeah, the steel engineer.
That was, Steve, were you involved in that? Could you speak on that?
No, sir, I was not involved in that.
It was Don.
Was it Don Rayo? Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
It was Don Rayo and Butch Wilson.
And there was no recommendation from y'all or anyone else that they should be closer to the actual site?
I think at the time we were just trying to save money and then to mobilize at the actual site. It's going to be expensive, so they decided to utilize, like I said, the borings.
Okay. Look,
at the end of the day, number one, I understand that the contractor's going to do what's on the engineering drawings. Unless they see something that's glaringly obvious, this is a problem. Also understand that you're not the engineer who did the original drawings and that engineer is gone. But had they done the borings and found this situation, we'd be doing it anyway. So we'd be having to put the carriages underneath the pipe anyway if we found unstable soil. Maybe that would have made us ask NIFWIP for more money up front, but it's such a valuable project.
Judges, that's all great points. But I guess for me, whenever engineers or anybody negotiate something, it needs to come back to this court that we know about it so that we can have wisdom questions for us, because the bottom line is always of the taxpayers of Jefferson County, we are responsible for.
It's like, you know, I'm not angry with anyone. We just don't like being surprised.
Yeah.
All right. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. The ayes have it. That completes our regular agenda. Is there any other thing that any member of the court would like to bring to the attention of the public?
Yeah, George, I have a few, and I think I visited with you earlier about it. It's beginning to be difficult listening at citizens from our county when they, like this weekend, I had people from all over the county that come to the health fair, and I'm hearing so much about these denial letters that are coming from FEMA and DLO. We have events that have catastrophic problems to members of our community. That's why I asked that question last week about how could we potentially spend some of that BP funding so we can make sure that we get these drainage districts to do things that help the citizens of our county not have to deal with the issues that we've had the past 4 years. But it's even farther and harder. I think we may need to get FEMA, GLO to come before us and explain to us why we have so many citizens getting denial letters and pushing them towards loans and things of that nature to try to get some answers with people, to them so we can at least let them know we care about them and that we are trying to do the best we can to help them.
Sending some communications to Washington because basically what has happened is it's not the Texas General Land Office, it's the HUD rules and the Code of Federal Regulations. So a lot of people
housing assistance program or the housing reimbursement program would offer. Because they have home insurance, and their home insurer using the presently enforceable FEMA flood inundation map does not show them to be in a floodplain. However, HUD and FEMA have come up with a new rule that says if there are one or more rules or prospective rules which apply to a situation, you must use the more restrictive rule. So under the preliminary flood inundation map that have not yet been adopted and are not being used by insurance companies, they are in a floodplain. So if they're in a floodplain, they're ineligible for housing assistance or reimbursement. And that's what we're trying to, almost all of our problems with housing recovery stem from unworkable regulations in the Code of Federal Regulations. And anything we do is going to have to be done at the federal level to change that. Because the GLO wants to get this money out as quick as they can, and the houses rebuilt as quick as they can, but all the problems are in the Code of Federal Regulations. So we're going to continue to work on that. But you're right, Commissioner, it's a huge problem.
And I also want to bring to the attention of individuals that have been affected, if you was affected by Harvey and Imelda, you have to apply, or you should apply, for the funding for Imelda, and December the 3rd is that drop dead date. So please, if the media is here, please get that out. And Southeast Texas Relief Fund, I want them to bring to us and let us know if we're getting any funding in and where are we using the funding in the different zip codes, how we are dispersing that funding. So we need to get that information to them, because it's I'm hearing it from all parts of the county. And we need to try to make sure we impact people's lives, period. That's all I have.
All right, and there will be no commissioner's court next week. We'll meet again on December 3rd.
Tree lighting.
The tree lighting is on December 2nd at 11 a.m. down in the foyer of the zoo section of the courthouse. Anything else?
Agenda's due when? Thursday?
Thursday.
So your December 3rd agenda is due
on Thursday.
This Thursday.
Speaking of, I'll wish everyone present and watching and others a very happy Thanksgiving and blessed.
Get over that.